You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast. Your host Colt Molesky here. As always, the podcast is bringing you Timberwolves content and has been for the last couple of years. And today we are going to be talking about a draft prospect, doing a little draft profiling, going to be doing a couple of these. This year is a little tougher than last year because last year it felt like there was probably 5-6 picks for the upcoming draft, whereas this year it feels like there's only going to be about 3, maybe 4 guys the Timberwolves really are looking at can really add. And so we're going to be looking at a couple of those guys. But first, let's get to some Timberwolves news, shall we? But before we do any of that, I want to just to remind you to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating wherever you're listening to the podcast. Obviously, you can get it Spotify or iTunes or Himalaya, a very convenient place to download your podcasts. You can go there, and not only are they going to help you find the podcast you love and enjoy listening to already, but they can also help you find a new podcast that you can dive right into. So go check out Himalaya for sure. Without further ado, let's talk about some of the Timberwolves news. So the Timberwolves have been recently connected with talks about D'Angelo Russell. There's been a few teams interested, obviously. Obviously, he's hitting free agency this summer. Now, he's going to be looking for some cash because last year he took a major step forward, was an all-star. He averaged, if you look at his numbers, huge jumps across the board. So he played for the first time over 70 games. He had 81 games played last year, started in all 81 of those. The next highest game total that he had, it's the second time over 80, but his rookie season, he had 80 games that he played and started in 48 of those. And then in the 2016-17 season, he started in 60. That was his highest game start total before this season. So 81 games he played in. Averaged 30.2 minutes per game, which is a career best for him. Shot more times than he ever had at 18.4 field goal attempts per game, career high. 43% shooting from the field, career best. He averaged 7.8 3-point attempts per game, another career high, and career best 36% shooting from the three-point line. He averaged 3.9 total rebounds, which matched last year's total, which are both career highs. And he averaged 7 assists per game, which is a career high by a long shot. Last year, he only averaged 5.2. Averaged 1.2 steals per game, and had averaged 21.1 points per game, which is also a career high. His next best performance points-wise was 16-17 season, 15.6. So he didn't just play better. He took a major step. He was a major contributor for the team as far as playmaking, as far as creating his own shot, as far as a scorer, as far as his efficiency. Across the board, a lot better. And now there's a bunch of teams looking for his services. Or Orlando is one of those. The Utah Jazz is one of those teams. Obviously, the story with them is that they haven't really had much of any talks with last year's point guard Ricky Rubio, and so the Timberwolves have also been named in that mix. Now, they don't have quite the cash that I'm sure D'Angelo Russell is looking for. I'm sure he's looking for something around a max. And they don't have the cap space for that unless they move pieces around. I actually would love, if they could somehow find the money, I would love for them to get D'Angelo Russell. He would be perfect. He's a fantastic point guard, really high effort guy. You gotta love a guy who's been improving every single year. I mean, the last three seasons, he's averaged 43%, 41%, 40% shooting from the field. So he's gotten better or more efficient shooting every single season. He's shot the ball more every single season. He's averaged higher rebounds every single season over the past 4 years. He's averaged more assists every single season. And he's averaging more points. 3 years ago, 15.6. Last year, 15.5. This year, 21.1. So he's getting better every single year. He's taking strides every year. Seeing the floor a little better every year. I think you see that in his assist numbers. I think you see that in the way he runs an offense, in what shots he's deciding to take, where he's putting the basketball. You see his decision-making is better. You see him seeing the floor a little better. And so I really like him. I think he's probably going to be an all-star guard. I'll say if he's in the league for, let's say, 10 more years, I think he's probably an all-star guard 6 of those years. And so I would love if the Timberwolves could find the cash for him. They would have to move either Gorgie's or the Wiggins contract. And then they would be basically burning through the rest of their money. And even if you move the Gorgie contract, that, I don't know if that has enough years on the contract so that you can move that and still have enough money for the type of contract that D'Angelo Russell is looking for, because he's probably looking for something with in the 4 to 5 year range as far as how long he's staying with the next team too. So I'm not sure if it's a realistic expectation, but if they could somehow move some stuff around and pursue him, I would be all in for that. He is 100% worth going after, and the Timberwolves should definitely pursue them, especially now because of their backcourt depth and how shallow they are at that position, and how Jeff Teague, I mean, you don't know how healthy he's going to be. He was really struggling to stay on the floor last year. Tyus Jones is solid, but he is not a scorer. He's not a shot creator for himself. He can't be aggressive scoring the basketball. And so D'Angelo Russell would be a perfect addition to throw alongside Towns. But again, that would be tough to bring in. We're going to get to some sponsors, and then we're going to talk about a draft prospect for the Timberwolves. I don't want to keep talking and getting the hopes up of the Timberwolves faithful for a guy that probably is going to be joining the team because of their tight wallet situation. But you know what? They are looking into him, so that means they might have some sort of plan for trying to get him on the books. So we're talking about, it's worth saying, putting my 2 cents in that I think he would be a great addition for the Timberwolves, but keep your hopes low on that one, guys. So let's get to some sponsors here. Colton Molesky, host of the Locked On Wolves podcast here. We've been talking about D'Angelo Russell. And now let's talk about P.J. Washington of Kentucky. Yeah, that's right. We're going to be talking about a forward. I know that the Timberwolves need a lot of help in their backcourt, and they should probably be really trying to draft a guard. But I got to say, I've been watching P.J. Washington tape. I was watching the games that they played in the SEC tournament yesterday. I was watching some highlights from his season the year before that season. I was watching some highlights, and I liked P.J. Washington before, just the fit that he had. But now, after watching and putting in a few hours of time on the tape, I gotta say, I really like Washington, and I think that he is I think that he's a very solid prospect. I think that what he does translates very well. Let's go into some of his stats before we get into some of the raw stuff and some of the tape stuff. But for his stats, I did not remember this going away from March Madness, but actually a fairly solid three-point shooter. Averages 2.2 three-point attempts per game, 42% from three-point range. Averages 52% from the field on 10.4 field goal attempts per game. He played in 33 of the 35 games he played in, and he averaged 29.3 minutes per game. He put up 7.5 total rebounds, 2.3 on offense, 5.2 on defense, averaged 1.8 assists, 0.8 steals, 1.2 blocks, 2 turnovers per game, 2.5 fouls per game, and 15.2 points. So, pretty solid stats, some really good forward numbers, and again, something that you like to see. All of those are improvements from last year, and all of those are our numbers. For example, field goal percentage, 51 to 52%. I know it's not a big increase, but it is an increase. Three-point shooting is where he really takes the big leap. Last year, 23%. This year, 42%. And then points, 10.8 to 15.2. And so all of those really good jumps you like to see. As far as what I saw on tape, obviously some of that stuff like his defense, his aggressive rebounding, his shot blocking, you kind of knew about. Same with his transition stuff. I'm not going to tell you about how I like him in transition. Obviously, he was one of those guys where he's a big, long forward, but he's got a high motor, high intensity kind of guy who gets down the court quickly and can flip the floor on defense quickly. What I really like is he's got these sneaky moves in the half court offense. He's got these little moves where he goes. He does a really good job of finding open space on the floor in the half court without rushing to it and alerting the defense to what he's doing. For example, there's a lot of times where he'll run into the corner at the beginning of the shot clock, and then he'll kind of float across the court. He'll kind of float across the baseline. And he won't run to the basket, but there will be movement. There will be like a screen at the top of the key, and he'll just kind of float across the baseline to the basket in this space. And all of a sudden, he's right at the rim with nobody guarding him. And I only bring it up because he does that a bunch, where he does that little move where he kind of just kind of floats across the baseline from the corner to the hoop, or he'll fake the screen, and then he'll kind of move off the screen and float into some space a little bit off the elbow. He does that all the time, where he's just kind of, it almost looks like he's walking around and he's just kind of checking out of that play, and then he's dunking. And I really like the little subtle touches that he has on offense, and I really like that he can pull up and catch and shoot the three point look as well. He's got a nice shot, and I don't think he's going to create too much of his own shot, but when he's playing off a ball handler, when he is catching and shooting at the top of the key, he tends to be money more often than not. And So I like that range. I like that there's a couple of spots that he already knows he can get buckets. There's a couple moves he already has. Obviously, we already mentioned the transition. He's got a nice little hook shot as well in front of the basket. And I don't know exactly if that translates as well against NBA talent. But I think that he's got the makings there. I mean, he's got three little things where he can find points and he can find buckets. And while he's not, I don't think he's going to create too much off ball. I think that he's really, really good. And I do like that hook shot too that he has. Just that little flip in kills bigger defenders. And so I like that he's got three moves already. I like that he's aggressive on defense. I think the biggest problems he has is sometimes he doesn't play off on help defense when there's a cutter that gets free on a screen at like the 3-point line. There's a lot of times where he doesn't roll over to help on that defense. The other thing too is he's always going to try and make the play on the ball. There was a lot of times when I was looking through games and watching full games, there's a lot of times where he'll try and go for the ball and make a play on the ball and then end up missing and giving the guy an easy layup or an easy dunk. And I kind of like that, not going to lie. I like that he's going to be aggressive. I'd rather have a player be aggressive than passive, honestly. And so if my biggest knock on him is that he's going to over-pursue, I mean, that's what Okogie did a lot of the time at the beginning of last year, is he over-pursued. He was playing opposition because he was playing super aggressive. And you saw him as his basketball IQ continued to grow, as he continued to adjust to the NBA game, as he continued to grow as a defender, that just translated into being a better defender throughout the year. And so as you saw him throughout his first year in the Timberwolves, his defense got really good, and it was because he was that aggressive. And while that made some mistakes early on, that translated to him being a better defender. And so if that's the knock on PJ Washington, is that he's going to be uber aggressive, then I think that translates better for him overall, and that's going to end up being better for him overall than anything else. And so it's like a half knock on him. Overall, I really like PJ Washington. I know they need the guard help, but if they drafted him and if he was there at 11 and they're having to pick between like Kevin Porter Jr. or PJ Washington, that's a tough choice. I think that's a tough choice. And I put in a couple hours. I know that's not a crazy amount of time, but after a few hours of watching tape, and I did watch him throughout the season. He's not like he was coming off an obscure college and I'd never heard of him before. He was on the radar for sure, but after really getting to some of his tape for some hours, I gotta say, I really like PJ Washington, and he would be fun to see play alongside Towns, because then you have that kind of difficulty too. Where it's a lesser version of like the Draymond Cousins thing that the Warriors run, where you hope that maybe PJ Washington can grow as a passer. So then not only can you run the offense through Towns and through a point guard, but now you can run it through PJ Washington. Now you've got a bigger guy passing to even bigger guy in Towns, something like that. That's where you really start to have fun. But even then, even as it is now, having Towns and PJ Washington, those two guys with their wingspan and their size in transition on offense, is just sounds nightmarish for opposition and for other teams' defenses. So that's my player profile of him. I will be doing more of these. I will definitely be doing one on Porter Jr. There's a couple of Gonzaga guys that I'll be looking into. Stay on the lookout for these coming up. Also, we'll have a special guest later on in the week, so stay tuned for that. As for right now, thank you so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.